Today, as we come to the table,
they've been slaves working for free for a long time. Now it's payday. You know, when you work for God, here's the difference. When you work for God, God makes sure you get paid. If you're working for the Lord, all through Scripture, whenever you're working for God, and the children of Israel were working for God, they were God's servants. Although they were not real close to God at this time, God had promised to Abraham that he was going to take them into the land and make them a great nation. And God says, you're working for me. I'm going to make sure you're paid. We see the same thing when even Nebuchadnezzar, unsaved Nebuchadnezzar, when God sent him against the enemies of God, it says that God gave him the reward of the kingdoms that he conquered. Why? Because he was working for God.
It's interesting to think about. God will make sure you get paid when you're working for Him. It's part of the provision God promises all His people. If we're doing what He asks, He'll make sure we're taken care of. But as Pastor Mark said, it may not always be in the way you expect. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, you'll learn why God asks the children of Israel to request money from the Egyptians. It's what they're due. God's taking care of their future by providing what they'll need. God's providing for you too. Everything you do for the kingdom is building up treasure in heaven, and you can trust the Lord to take care of the present as well. Let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 3 for the conclusion of God's message of hope in the midst of oppression.
He says, "So I will stretch out my hand and I will strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, He will let you go." So He tells him in advance, He's not going to let you go. Even with the mighty hand of God pushing him, He's not going to let you go. I think about the pride and the stubbornness in Pharaoh's heart. I mean, I was thinking, how many plagues would it take for me to finally say, "All right, you know, I believe your God. Your God's real. Nobody can do this but God." How many would it take? And we're going to see it took all the way up until 10. It took all the way up until literally God brought the final plague, which the final plague was the death of Pharaoh's own son. The firstborn. I mean, it had to get so bad in Pharaoh's life that God had to allow his first child to die before it even got Pharaoh's attention. How stubborn and sad is that? And that, you know, really is heartbreaking, because as a pastor, I see this kind of stuff even in people's life today. Listen, here's the bottom line. God will do whatever it takes to break someone and bring them to salvation because He wants everybody in heaven. And if that means that God has to let our life fall completely apart in total destruction to get us saved, He will do that. The problem is, as God begins in His love, as God begins to allow lives to fall apart, what happens? People start blaming God. How could a God of love? If God loved me, why? It's because God loves you that your life's falling apart. It's because God loves you that this happened. God's allowing this and or doing it so you'll repent and come to your senses. And yet oftentimes mankind doesn't understand that. And so they rebel and they, you know, how could God? And they get mad and they get firm in their heart or whatever. And God says, "I'm trying to get your attention. What's it going to take? You know, you have to lose a child before you're going to look up. You have to lose a wife, a husband. You know what? You have to lose a home, a job, a career. You have to lose your health. What do I have to do to get your attention? I love you enough to keep you from going to eternal separation in hell. So I'll do whatever I have to do to get you to come to your senses." And so that's what's going to happen with Pharaoh. I mean, I tell you, I've seen people that allow so much devastation in their life, so much has come into their life, and rather than repenting and running to the Lord, they just continue on and don't even take heed to it. It's frustrating. I remember one particular person I was praying for, and I was praying for them, and I, you know, it's like, "Lord, if their life has to fall apart in order to get their attention, let their life fall apart." And I began to watch their life fall apart. I mean, devastating things. Divorce, all kinds of devastating things. And it's not that I'm praying for that. I wasn't praying for divorce or that. I was just praying for their salvation. But God's like, "Look, what do I have to do to get this person's attention?" And I think not because of my prayer, that's not my point, but I know that God loves us all. And as I was praying for this, I think God allowed me to watch what was happening in that person's life so I could see His hand. "Look, I'm trying to get their attention, Mark. But they won't pay any attention. No matter what I do, no matter how bad it gets, they won't pay attention. And I remember seeing that moment pass. It was like this moment of devastation in this person's life. And I'm thinking, they've got to come to Christ through this. The devastation got to its peak. They refused to come to Christ. The devastation passed, and now their life went back to semi-normal. And I thought, you know what? What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get your attention? What does God have to do to say, look up? You know? And so this is Pharaoh. He's going to get mad. He's going to let his pride come in rather than saying, you know, he's going to harden his heart rather than breaking and saying, you know what, I'm just going to come to my senses. And some of you guys have been there. You know what it's like. God had to let me really collapse and my life fall apart and be face down before I would even begin to look up. Some of you guys have that same kind of testimony. Some of you guys came to the Lord, you know, real easy when you were younger. You just kind of were that, you know, somebody mentioned it and you gave your life to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But then you have those stubborn, prideful ones like me and like some of you in this room, where God had to really kind of do all kinds of things before you would really open your eyes. Sad thing to me is some people never do, no matter how bad it gets. And there's going to be people, it says in Revelation, that'll be so hard that even when God, in his love, is pouring out his wrath. Now that sounds funny, but I'm going to repeat that. Even though God, in his love, is pouring out his wrath in the last days, like it says he'll do in Revelation. Why do I say in his love? Because they wouldn't come to Christ any other way. They're on their way to eternal separation from God. So God says, I'm going to make one last attempt. I love them so much. I don't want to see them end up eternally separated and in the lake of fire. So I'm going to allow this wrath to come to get their attention. Because I love them. And it says that rather than finally going, what am I doing? I'm an idiot. I mean, everything's falling apart. The world's in flames. I think it's probably time to pray. It says they're going to be shaking their fist at God saying, how could you? Look how hard a heart can get. Can a heart get hard? What does it take, guys? This is really with Pharaoh. We're going to get there. We're going to see Pharaoh just. And what's interesting is when we get to Pharaoh, we're going to see that over and over it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And it was Pharaoh's choice to harden his heart, wasn't it? He's the one that kept hardening it. One of the saddest verses in Scripture is after all these times of saying, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. There's a sudden change in the language and it says, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. See, here's what the Bible teaches. If we continue to harden our heart long enough, God will come alongside us and say, if that's what you want, I'll agree with it. And now I'm going to solidify it. And there you go. Eternal separation and condemnation from God. It's a scary place to be. Now, you got to go a long way down the road to get there. Don't misunderstand me. But Pharaoh's going to get there. Amazing. And so he says, I'll do all this. I'll stretch out my hand. I'll strike Egypt, my wonders, which I'll do in its midst. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to strike Egypt. He said, then he'll let you go. When I finally do that, he's going to see it's going to take, you know, 9 plagues, the 10th one, really 10 plagues before he'll do it. And he says, and I will give this people favor. Now that kind of shifts here, the last couple of verses. And he says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. So when you leave, you're going to go with some possessions. Notice God, again, has the ability, several things to note here, but notice first of all, that God has the ability to give us favor. That's a good prayer to pray. If you're at your workplace and they don't like you, or you're wherever and they don't like you and things are going hard, start praying for favor. Say, God, I see in your word that you gave the children of Israel favor, and not just favor, it was favor with their enemies. So it wasn't just favor with like somebody that was normal, this is an enemy God gives favor to. So God can give you favor, and God does give favor, and I've seen God do that before. I've seen God give me favor in certain situations. And I'm like, man, this is God's hand. Because I know I would not have this much favor if it wasn't the Lord. So pray for that. Say, God, give me favor. Give me favor at work. Give me favor at home. Give me favor. Wherever you need the favor, ask for God to do it. So God can give us favor. I think that's important to note there. And secondly, notice he said to them, when you go, not if you go. That means God, you know, when God makes a promise, God's going to keep it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so, you know, we've said this before. If God has made a promise to you, God is going to keep that promise. You can bank on it. It's going to happen. But lastly, notice he says that when they do go, they will not go empty-handed. We'll see more of that in verse 22. But God says he will bless them with goods and belongings, and he'll move the hearts of the Egyptians, we're going to see, to give them money and belongings. Amazing. Now, we'll give the reason for that in a moment. But look at verse 22. He says, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house. So basically go to your neighbors in your neighborhood. Knock on the door. Ask for articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now, I'm not suggesting that today. I'm not suggesting go knock on your neighbors. You know, it says here in, you know, Exodus chapter 3, I'm supposed to ask for gold and silver, and you know. But there's a reason for this. The reason they go to their neighbors to ask for silver and gold and clothing and put them on their children, why? Again, there's several reasons. Number one, the silver and gold would be needed for the temple service. When they get out into the wilderness, they're going to be building the temple of God, and they're going to need all this gold and silver. They didn't have any possessions. They were slaves. So God is giving them the silver and the gold to go out and so they can build the temple of God and worship the Lord. The clothing for their families was because, again, they were slaves. They had very little clothing. Their kids didn't have probably much of anything to wear. And so they said, get clothes for your kids to be able to wear. And notice, ask silver and gold of them. Now, why would God tell them to go to the Egyptians and ask silver and gold? Because they owed it to them. What do you mean they owed it to them? They've been slaves working for free for a long time. Now it's payday. You know, when you work for God, here's the difference. When you work for God, God makes sure you get paid. If you're working for the Lord, all through Scripture, whenever you're working for God, and the children of Israel were working for God, they were God's servants. Although they were not real close to God at this time, God had promised to Abraham that he was going to take them into the land and make them a great nation. And God says, you're working for me. I'm going to make sure you're paid. We see the same thing when even Nebuchadnezzar, unsaved Nebuchadnezzar, when God sent him against the enemies of God, it says that God gave him the reward of the kingdoms that he conquered. Why? Because he was working for God. God will make sure that he pays his employees, if you want to look at it that way. And that means if you guys are working for the Lord, God is going to pay you. You're going to get paid. It may not always be in cash. It may not even be down here. It might not be till heaven when you finally get paid. But I can tell you this, if you serve the Lord and you think nobody sees and nobody cares and I'm not appreciated and nobody's whatever, you're going to get rewarded. And your reward's going to be a lot better than any earthly paycheck or anything else that somebody could give down here to you from here, because it's from God and it's eternal. And so God says, now it's time to give them back pay. So, you know, go knock on the doors and ask them for it. And they'll give it to you. But it's also interesting to me, and I'd never thought about this until this time through. This is interesting to me, and I guess I see things a little bit different as a dad now. You know, especially when the girls were younger, if they want to, you know, buy Tracy something or do whatever, you know, they don't have resources of their own to do that, and it's got to come from dad, doesn't it? If they're going to have any resources they can do anything with, it's going to come from dad. Now I'm finding, actually, that as they get older, then they, you know, even if they do have the resources, they still want it to come from dad, but I guess I better get used to that, right? But this is interesting to me because, again, the main purpose that God gave them, the gold and silver here, was to build the temple. They needed the gold and the silver in the wilderness, you know, but to build the temple because you couldn't use it for anything else, right? You know, what if you had all the gold and silver in the world and you're out in the middle of the wilderness, you know, for 40 years? What are you going to buy? Nothing. You couldn't use it. So God gave them this for the purpose of the temple. That's why he gave it to them. And it's interesting because as a dad, again, I said, this really struck me this time. And things, you know, you go through the Bible different times. I mean, you go through different seasons of life. You see things differently because of where you are. But this really struck me. God gave them money for the purpose that they would have something to give back. That had never struck me before. They would have not been able to build the temple. They wouldn't have had anything to build the temple with. They wouldn't have been able to. And yet God wanted to be able to bless them. And if God was going to be able to bless them, God had to give them something so that they have the ability to give it back so that he could bless them. And it's almost kind of funny. We're going to stand before God one day. God's going to say, well, you did this and this and this. I'm going to say, well, yeah, Lord, but that was really yours because you gave it. Yeah, but here, I'm going to reward you anyway. So it's kind of this strange thing where really it all comes from him, but he gives it to us so we can give it back. And he can say, attaboy. Isn't that kind of funny? Well, I mean, it just really kind of struck me again. I look at things differently as a dad now. But notice this, guys. What a privilege it is for God to give us a gift. See, look, here's the thing. God gives it to us so we can give back to the work of the ministry. If God didn't give me any money, then I couldn't give anything to the church. I couldn't do anything for missions. I couldn't do anything for ministry. But anything that I give to the church in a tithe or in missions or whatever I give, first of all, it's not coming from me. It's not like I'm giving up my hard-earned money. I've worked hard for this, and now I'm going to give my money to God. Wait, whose money, Mark? Well, actually, I guess it is yours, because if you didn't give it to me, I wouldn't have it. But you gave it to me, so now it's mine. Well, kind of. Why did I give it to you? Well, you gave it to me so I can eat and I can live and I can survive and pay my bills. Why else did I give it to you? So you could be used in blessing the temple of God so that I would have an excuse on judgment day to bless you. This is pretty awesome. And it gave me a whole new perspective of this I've never thought of. I mean, again, I never thought of it that way. To me, the tithe has always been something kind of you do because, you know, you're supposed to. And I understand what the tithe is about. Don't get me wrong. But to see it from God's perspective, it's almost like God saying, look, I'm going to give this to you so that you have an opportunity to use it for my kingdom. Why? Because I want to bless you. That's why. I could just give you just enough for food and water and clothing and whatever, but I'm going to give you some more. Why? So you can use it for the kingdom. And this is exactly what God's doing for the children of Israel. Imagine they get out in the wilderness and now they build the temple. And Moses says to them, now we're going to pass the plate. Well, what are you going to, with what? And Moses did literally pass the plate in the wilderness. I mean, we don't do that. There's nothing wrong in doing that, but Moses did it. But again, what would they give? If God hadn't given them something to give back to God, they would have had nothing to give. And it struck me, everything I give to God is what he gives back. Now, that's the financial end of it. What about everything? What about your health? Has God given you physical health to give back to God? I don't have time to serve. I really can't tithe my time to serve because I'm too busy. Honestly, I believe if we're too busy to be serving God, guys, what's the answer? We're too busy. God has created us to serve. Moses, go give them the message. Thank you, Lord, but I don't have time. I'm working two jobs. I've got two flocks and two different fields, and it just picked up lately. And you know, the wife and all at home, Zipporah, it's very demanding. And all right, Lord, what do you want? Let's go. So understand, when I say this, it struck me as a dad in the sense of giving to the Lord in the financial sense, because as a dad, I think about the girls wanting to give to Tracy, and I've got to give to them before they can even give to Tracy. And then it's funny, especially when they're little, they think they really bought mom something. They didn't buy mom anything, I did. And when we are baby Christians and we're just learning to tithe, it's kind of scary. Oh, I don't have enough. What if it doesn't? Oh, no, what's going to happen? You know, all that kind of thing. It's the same kind of thing with, hey, I gave to God. Well, no, you didn't really. You gave him back what he gave you, but it was really all his anyway. He only gave it to you so you'd have a chance to do that so he can give you some reward and blessing. But as we grow, we understand that. We see God's hand in all that. But it was beyond that, guys. Here's really where we end tonight, and the challenge for me was, and God challenges me in these areas, and I pass that challenge on to you. It's not just about the giving the example. That was an obvious example that God began to minister to my heart in. But really what God spoke to my heart today was, is look, what about your whole life? I've given you life. I've given you health, an ability to serve. We can talk about our resources, guys, and make a list of what our resources are. Finances is only one check mark on a board full of resources God has given us. An ability to speak, an ability to serve, you know, an ability to whatever it might be. You put your list down, whatever gifts God has given you. The question is, when you look at your chalkboard, write down in your mind, write them down, all the things. What are your resources? Are you using them for God? Because that's what God's called us to do. But Lord. This is Moses, guys. This is what this chapter 3 and 4 is all about. Moses, all the reasons why he couldn't do it. And God strikes down every single reason that Moses gives. And finally, Moses gives up and just admits it and says, I just don't want to do it, okay? I'm going to be honest, I don't want to do it. And it says that God got mad at Moses. You know, that's scary to me. I don't want God mad at me. So it's like, all right, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do and go for it. You know, the same is true for us tonight. God called Moses to be his spokesman and to give his life for him. God has called us to be his spokesman and to give our life for him. Guys, have you given your life for the Lord? Really? I mean, your life, not just whatever. Your life, who you are, your very being. Is that given over to the Lord? What you do when nobody else is around? That's a part of giving your life to the Lord. Adai is sick tonight. She got sick last night. She wasn't able to come tonight. I kind of joked her when I left. I said, no, she's staying home by herself. I said, you be a good girl while we're gone. You're just kind of kidding with her. Like, you know, what could she do? I don't know. She's a great girl. She loves the Lord and she, you know, but I kind of say it as a dad, kind of kidding with her and giving her like that, whatever. But I told her, I said, remember, whatever you do, when nobody else is around, God's watching. And she's the one that when she was little, and she just kind of smiled because she knows that's true. She was the one that I think that's great to teach your kids, by the way, guys, not to scare them. You know, God sees it and he's going to get you or something, you know, not that kind of thing. But just, you know what? God's everywhere. God knows. I'll finish with this story because it really kind of ties in with just encouraging us to that God sees everything and that we need to give everything. God knows every part of our life. We need to, and I'm going to use this phrase, we need to tithe every part of our life to God. This is not just about money. That's only one tiny fraction of what God is asking us. We need to tithe our life, what we're doing with our time, what we do when nobody else is around. And that's really what it means to give everything to the Lord. And I remember when Adai was little, some of you guys have probably heard me share this story, but it's funny when I said that to her tonight because it comes back to a little story when she was little. She got into mom's makeup like all the little girls do, right? You know, they get into it and they come home and they look like this big circus clown. You know, they have these huge big red lips and all the stuff everywhere. It's like so cute, you can't stand it, right? But she knew she was in trouble and she's hiding under my desk. And I came to my desk and I sit down and I see the little feet kind of huddled down, you know, down there. I was like, honey, what are you doing? And she's like, she saw me. She says, you know, she's caught. I said, you got into mom's makeup, huh? Yep, you know. I said, why are you hiding under the desk? She said, because I don't want, you know, mom to find me or anybody to see me. I said, well, honey, you know you're going to have to come out. We're going to find, I don't remember the exact conversation, but you know, that whole thing. We're going to see you and we know you're there and it's okay. Come on out and we'll clean up. Just don't do it again. It's, you know, this kind of thing. And I used it as a teachable moment. I said, you know, even if you're under that desk, I mean, mom and dad are going to find you. They can see you. They're going to find you. Really? I said, yeah. And I said, even under that desk when mom and dad can't see you, guess who can? She said, who? I said, God. She was shocked. God can see me under the desk when I'm hiding? I said, yes. God sees everything. He knows everything you're doing or whatever. So the realization of God saw me do this and, you know, and God, all this. You could tell the realization hit her, you know, that God could see her. And the point in that was, is you know what? God knows every part of your life, honey. He sees it all. And I make the application to us tonight. Every part of our life, God sees and he knows. Every part of it. He knows what we're doing with everything in our life. Everything that we have, where'd it come from? And I'm not, again, let me be clear on this because it seems to be a big issue in the church today. I'm not talking about money. That's part of it. Forget money for a minute. Let's lay money, forget it. But everything you have in your life, besides money, everything you have in your life, who gave it to you? God did. Your ability to think, your ability to make the grades you made, your ability to do the skills that you have, the work that you can do. You know, you're good at this, you're good at that. God gave you that ability, the ability just to whatever it might be. So all I'm saying is, are we saying, Lord, you gave us this, now we want to give it back to you and in an offering and praise to you in whatever you want to do with it. And I want to promise you this, and you guys know this as believers, anything you give to the Lord, he gives you way more back. You give your time to the Lord, you're going to find that you have plenty of time to do everything and more, and God's going to bless you in it. It's crazy. On the days that I feel like, you know, I've got too much to do today, I'll wake up, you know, like, I can't pray, it's too busy today, I got to hurry, I got to go. And there's been times, yes, that I failed and I hadn't prayed, but then the times I said, no, I need to stop and pray. I don't care how busy it is. Lord, I'm going to get alone, even if for a short moment, I'm going to pull aside and pray. On those days that I've done that, I don't even care how long I've extended the prayer. I have gotten more done on that day than I ever dreamed I would get done. And I don't know what God does with the time. I don't know how he does it. But I think God does that to make a point. Mark, you give all that you are to me, and I'll give you way back more. I'll show you. You be faithful. I'll take care of the rest. And that's the Lord we serve. So guys, be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord with what he's given you. And watch what he's going to do. Next, we're going to see Moses go on with his excuses, you know. Another reason why Moses can't serve. And so if your excuse hadn't been taken away yet, it will. Don't worry.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.